Hello, and welcome to Bridging the Gap by the Fashion Museum. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to a fashion icon. She has been in the industry for over 20 years. She has been affiliated with huge international brands such as Chanel. She has dealt with so many celebrities, and she's really paved the way for herself within the fashion industry, essentially bringing Africa to the world. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to the one, the only, Adama Paris.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today on Bridging the Gap by the Fashion Museum. Mm-hmm. And essentially what we do is we talk to icons such as yourself that have paved the way in the fashion industry in particular. And so today we're going to be having conversations about the history that you've done within the fashion industry. And essentially, the aim is to help younger designers that are coming into the fashion industry to know about a few hurdles that they might need to come across or overcome, rather, in order to be a successful fashion designer and maybe eventually an icon like you.
Thank you for having me. I'm really thrilled, and I can't wait to have this conversation with you.
Awesome, awesome. So let's dive into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So obviously, I know who you are. And the fashion gurus know who you are. But do you mind giving us a brief overview of who Adama Paris is?
Okay.
For those of the people that are interested to know about the fashion industry, but they don't quite know the history of how far you've come and what it is that you've done to pave the way within the fashion industry.
My name is Adama Ndiaye. I'm Senegalese, born in Congo. My parents were diplomats, and I loved fashion from like day one, I guess, when I was born. And I studied economics because my parents, there was this type of African parents that are like, oh no, you need to do serious things. So I, like, my dad pushed me to do banking and stuff. And but we had the agreement, like, when I've done, I can do whatever I want. Because I think that he thought that it was just a phase for me. Mm. So obviously it was not.
Yeah.
So, but lucky that he really come around and really helped me pursue my passion. So I started by being a designer, because that's actually what I love. And I created Dakar Fashion Week 20 years ago. And I started producing my own show, because at that time I didn't have someone who producing it. So I started being a producer, a designer, and a founder of one of their, like, oldest fashion week in the continent. And after that, years after, I start a magazine, and I start a concept store for African, by African, and TV channel, which is in, like, the equivalent of DSTV for you. It's Canal Plus.
Okay.
It's called Fashion Africa TV.
Awesome.
And I was 8 years ago, and started also some events in Europe called Black Fashion Week at that time. We become now Black Fashion Experience. So I did a lot in 20 years, but all around fashion and all our and all around African fashion and African people, actually, my African people, because obviously there's a lot of people also around the fashion industry that are not, like, really fashion people. And I like to, for us to acknowledge that we are paving the path also, but we are also inspiring people to just be more than designers and models, because we always just give space to those people. And I like to, and I'm really proud to give another narrative to people like you, who just interview and are in fashion in a different way. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Like, 20 years.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I start young, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course, because you're still young. So
I start young.
I
start young. I was in my 20s.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I start really young, and it was a struggle, but
yeah.
I'm here.
But you're here. You're clearly a woman of perseverance, a woman that is, you know, very, you know, focused and determined, clearly. I must admit, you've accomplished so much within 20 years. That's very admirable and very encouraging to let other women know that they can can achieve this as well, mm-hmm. or even men, whoever it is that's interested in fashion in general. Mm-hmm. So thank you for taking us through the 20-year journey. So I'm going to take us back to the beginning.
Okay.
So, yeah, I understand that your father was a typical African father that's like, you must study something.
Yeah.
you must study something serious. Yeah. You know, for whatever reason, you know, sometimes people take fashion to be like, you know, something that is not as serious. But that's why we're doing this, in order mm-hmm. to let people know that fashion is actually a really big deal, mm-hmm. and there are economic implications, mm-hmm. there are political implications, there's so many other ways that fashion has impacted the world in general.
Yeah.
So going back to the beginning of your journey 20 years ago, mm-hmm. after you had done studying economics, mm-hmm. What instilled that passion for fashion? Like, did you have any mentors or any inspiration? Like, what made you think, this fashion thing, I love it, and you know what, I was born to do this, how can I get into this industry and, you know, have that mindset?
Actually, I had this deal with my dad. It was like, okay. And I was lucky to be born in a family that my parents were diplomats. So we traveled the world every 2 to 3 years. And that was like, I'm saying, obviously, that's a luck. I was really lucky. So I experienced the world. I traveled, and that, like, being able to speak different languages, to live in different continent, in different country, kind of make me fearless,
yeah.
to be honest. I think that traveling is something that young African need to do, and that will open your mind into something that you'd never even thought about it. So I was born in that open family of intellectual that, you know, I could tell my dad I was not happy with his choice. And that was the thing, to be able to tell him, even if I had to follow. It was like, I cut the money. go and be like Francoise, your white girlfriend, and be there out there. You will not be able to live in my house anymore and stuff like that. But I was also, that's was the funny part, but I was also able to tell my truth and to tell him what I wanted to do. So I had no regrets whatsoever. If I could do it again, I will do the same study. I will make the same struggle, because that obviously make me who I am. Like I'm really a go-getter.
Yes.
No, for me, is not an answer. Yes. And it's not only a code. It's really I live by that. And I think that just being able to express myself in this family gave me more chance than lots of people. Mm. Just we need also to talk about the journey of people, because people, you know, seeing me the way I am now and who I am, it's really, yeah, it's nice. It's, you know, it's fancy and all of that. But also praising my parents and my family for who I am, it's really important. They really, because you need to start somewhere. In a way. And those of us who are lucky to be having that ground, it's not even support, because they didn't support me at first. They were like, no, we don't want to support you. But also having that space that I can grow and show them that they were wrong was really something that built your character, build you as a human, not only as a woman, and build me also as a Black African woman living in Europe, because that was my story. Yeah. My struggle was not in Africa. My struggle was elsewhere, to be recognized as a Black woman, as an African woman, all those things. Yeah. And when I came back to Africa, it was another story, because I was like, oh, I'm going to do this for my people and stuff. And people like, why don't you go back to where you come from? Why are you coming and take what we have? Mm. And this is little. So it was another struggle as an African who always lived in Europe or in America, coming back home, all these things you want to do for African, like, who are you? We don't care. And, you know, and I had to learn to live in Africa, to really live in Africa. It's not like I'm African, so African is just like, but living in Africa
is different.
It's, yeah.
It is.
It's not because you're African or because you're Black that you come back and you just leave. I had to learn and to kind of unlearn also what I've learned before as a French girl, like, you know, being a cozy environment. So and that was the most difficult part for me, to just come back to my country and learn to live there. It's not like the value, because I always had the value and stuff. Learn to be there and learn to just kind of mix what is good for me,
yeah,
and what is good for everybody else. Because in Africa, you need to please people. That's something that young African who are listening to us, they need. It's a reality. If you don't know the balance, how to, you know, please elders or people who are before you, you're not gonna live in a nice space. So that's something, it's really important. It's not probably for those who are not African, because you know, but this is our culture. And I'm glad I learned it, because it's also learning about respecting people, even if they're smaller.
Regardless, right? It's just human nature in general, like acknowledge and honor people, right?
I love that. Exactly. And that's important. That's part of our culture, and there's no shame about it. And it's the greatness of being African. It's about just knowing who were here before you, even if you're better, even if you're richer, giving them their flower. That's something I learned, and that's something that just makes you bigger and a better person.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was so very well said. Like, love that. There's so many gems in what you've said. And to be honest, you know, I've interviewed quite a number of people that have somehow, you know, it's interesting because it seems like a lot of people that are into fashion are somehow very exposed, or at least people that are interested in doing new things within the fashion industry. And very often, one of the things that people say is when they made the transition from that country to Africa, they find out that either the support that they're getting is from people that don't live in the country or foreigners. So do you think that there's something that fashion designers in general in Africa can learn about this? Is there something that they can do to be more accommodating and more welcome to the idea of, you know, we this is our heritage, you know, this is Africa, we own this. How can we make it more accommodating for other people that are trying to come into the industry?
I will say the opposite. You know, us, I mean, not us, because I've been here for 20 years, so now I'm here. But yeah, people coming from Nigeria, coming from London or elsewhere in America, Senegal, coming from France or Belgium or other countries, they are the one who have to work hard to get into that space. I disagree with them thinking and saying that we need to make a space for them. No. You know, respect is something you earn. And valuable work is something that it needs to be shown. It's like you can't just come because you're coming from America or New York, or you hanging out with Tiwa Savage or I don't know, Yusundu, and you people will just have to open their arm and welcome you because you know better. Right. Sure, maybe you know better, but that's not their that's not really important for people who've been struggling living here. So to me, it's always the opposite. I think that me, as someone who get the opportunity, because it is opportunity to be elsewhere doing something that people from here wanted to do. So you're the one who need to adapt yourself to these people and not the opposite. You're the one who need to work hard to whatever you want to achieve, to tell them, this is what I want to do. And okay, I welcome you and how we can do this together. And often time, there's this kind of snobism of people coming from like Europe and coming, oh no, we know better. I went to this school. I went to this fashion school, whatever. We don't care. We do not care. Because wherever you're coming from, if you're bringing something helpful, uplifting for your people, they will eventually come around. But
because they see the value.
But you need to earn it. Why would I give you a space if I don't know you and if you don't deliver? And you know, I disagree with totally with these things of young designer or creative coming from, well, I did the movie of Drake or whatever. Who cares? Like, I don't. Obviously, like now in my field, I have all these young people coming from France, New York, America. Oh, Adama, we want to come to do this with you, whatever, whatever. Yes, if you earned my, like, if I see that what you're doing is as good, first of all, and I won't give you a space, a better space, because you're coming from elsewhere. I refuse to do that. And I will always refuse to put like Africans coming from foreign people on top of African here, because you already have the opportunity they don't have. Exactly. So you need to work harder than them for me to be able to put you in my space and to give you that spot that you probably deserve, but you need to work for it.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't like and I don't want to have people just know what things are being done elsewhere and not being able to put themselves in the reality we're living. Because that's being really intelligent, be clever, is how to maneuver and how to put your person into any space. That's the, you know, the genuine intelligence of a person. If you're just able to do your things in London, in Paris, I don't need you.
Right.
Yes.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for answering that.
And we need to uplift our people in here. Yes. We need to give them a flower. We need to tell them that they're valuable. The cameraman, the photographer, the journalist. You've never been to London. So what?
Yes.
You that know, we need to tell them, and we are the one who need to put them out there for them to shine. You know, like, for instance, for my fashion week in Dakar, I never... At first, we used to invite people from everywhere in the world, like especially, you know, Europe and stuff. But now from these past 10 years, I decided to invite only African magazine, only African influencer, only African. Mm. Like when I say invite, if I can give you a room or pay you for something, I'll do it for the African media. Because, you know, we always blame African media, photographer, designer, whatever, to not be good enough. But we don't give them strength.
Yeah.
To grow. We don't give them the space to grow. You know, like that's the narrative that people pushing. Everybody's coming from elsewhere is better.
Mm.
How can we grow as the family, fashion family, whatever, if we don't push our own people to become as big or as well known as these people? At least we can do, and all I'm doing is, you know, like, if I have to pay on ticket, I'd rather pay for the journalist from Nigeria than the journalist from Paris. And that's just a statement. That's doing, you know, putting my mouth where I put my money and just trying to, you know, and trying to build that industry. Because the industry, obviously, is not only me and it's not only designer. And when you understand that giving power to journalists, to photographer, to cameraman is also building something bigger than you.
Yeah.
We will, like, in 10 years, we will be strong enough to have our own huge major that we don't need to for Vogue or Elle to talk about us for us to be relevant.
Mm. So well said. You had mentioned earlier about some of the challenges that you had to go through after you had studied economics and then plunged into the fashion industry. You didn't really have support, so to speak. So you had to, you know, fight your way through to kind of figure it out. So with that being said, can you kind of like walk us through how that progressed? Did you initially start with a fashion line, or did you initially start with planning of the fashion shows? Because like you said, you've been doing that for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So how did the dream begin?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I started with creating my label, Adam à Paris. And since I was this banker girl, I went to do the trademark. I did everything that designer were not doing right away. They were doing that after years. So I, like, all the paper were ready before even I had the one clothes ready.
So the legal aspect of everything.
Yes. So, because I think that it's just because of my background. So everything was legal. I had the company. I had everything. If I were not even ready to launch a collection or something. So I did that first, but that's me. And, you know, like, there's not a proper way to do things. Yeah, it's just you do it your way. And I start my line, Adam à Paris. I start like a first collection, and I went straight to the trade show, the biggest trade show in France, in Paris, Le Salon du Prêt-à-Porter. And, straight to the game. And I had this order coming from Japanese some people in Europe. And the struggle started because I didn't know where to make these clothes. You know, I had, like, I remember when order for 100, it seems so small now to me.
Yeah.
100 clothes, 100 pairs of jeans, 100 of this top. And I was like overwhelmed. So it's when I decided to come back in Africa to have them made, because I didn't want it to go to China or elsewhere. Mm. I really wanted my clothes to be made in Africa by African from day one. That's really something also I was stick to. And yes, I came to Dakar, and like my mom helped me find tailors. We struggled. The first collection was so bad.
Mm. Yeah.
So bad.
Because you hadn't figured it out at that point.
Yes, because actually it's something about making one good
one
outfit.
Piece. Yeah.
Yes, and making
multiple
100 pieces the same. They didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't know to. Mm. So I had to learn. So, and I, oh, one thing also people don't know is like, I studied economics. I didn't study fashion. So I had to go take some courses.
Oh, yes. And the fashion.
Yes. Okay, so I went back studying.
Wow. So where was this? Where did you go for fashion?
In France.
Oh, in France.
Yeah,
okay.
In France. Because obviously at that time I was living in France. So I went study back like from zero, from
scratch.
Yes, from scratch. And yes. So the struggle is finding good tailor, good team, and also people who that see your vision, because you know, people just at that time like, oh, one clothes, two, but they was like, 1,000, you crazy? Because they and themselves, they never studied.
They had never seen it. Yeah,
no, they never study fashion.
Oh, they never studied fashion.
You know, all our tailor just they know
enough.
How to do it by you know, doing it, you know. So I had to also to take some of them
through the process.
To my classes, too.
Oh, nice.
So they know how to cut, how to thought, because obviously I was not going to be able to do everything on my own.
Yeah.
So there's some people I send them in Morocco, and because at that time, Morocco was really in a good level of fabrication of clothing, and it was still in Africa. So, and also I brought back, I mean, I went there and I chose a girl, and she came to Dakar to be the chief of my atelier, so she can teach them how to do things scales up.
Mm.
So it was really hard. Like, honestly, I remember for those who ordered from me, and it were like 7 or something, because it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I only delivered for 2 of them. So I lost.
So you dropped the ball in that case.
Yes, because I couldn't do it. So obviously I concentrated and did what I could do
at
that moment. And it was really painful for me because I love challenging. But, you know, at one point also, this is lesson. You need to know what you're capable.
Yeah.
And as you fail on you, it's better than failing on people. And just taking order that you cannot do. So it was really painful for me, because people knows that I want to be able to deliver. But the first hard lesson, I was like, yeah, I can do it all. And if I cannot do it, I'd rather just lose everything than just do it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I learned first things, it's like my reputation is better than having tons of money. So I like, there was no money for me. And of course, obviously these guys, because I was doing this theatre for 3 years in a row, they came back next year and they were like, you know. But I showed them that, you know, I was a small designer and making sure that everything is made in Africa. And it was struggle. I was struggling because it was 20 years ago. Things were not advanced like now.
Yeah.
And people with certain skill, they were not that many.
Mm-hmm.
So they obviously understand. And some of them came back and others were like, no, we don't want to work with you.
Mm.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
So first of all, being able to put a team and to put an atelier that was running and also making clothes in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard because it was easier for me to just go pay in China. But I really stick to that. And that was the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
It was just trying to build a great brand,
mm-hmm.
but from Africa. Like everything's like made in Africa. Mm-hmm. So that was really hard. And second really hard thing is money.
Yeah.
Everybody knows when you're coming, when you're starting, it's just hard for people to believe in you. Even to just buy your clothes, because now it's easier because everybody knows fashion in Africa, and even African knows that it's important to support. You know,
yeah.
There was certain things in Langley, I support you. Why? I'm going to go buy Zara. Yes. Why? You know, stop your nonsense. Mm. You know, as like, it's a journey that like, even our consumers, we like people like me who started like really earlier, kind of teach them how to, you know, and all this new generation, they know better than when we started it. And I'm so glad. So it was a struggle to just convince people that you're as good as Zara or whatever. I don't know your position. And it was hard to have people who were not out of your network to buy from you.
Mm.
And that was my two main struggle. And of course, the last one is going to be funny. It's because I was young.
Yes.
Being young in Africa, it's not an advantage.
Mm.
It is not. At that time, it was not. Because people are like, oh, I was like, no wig at that time, Afro, too black, too Afro, too young. It was so bad.
Mm, it's true. And you were female?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was like, how old are you? Oh, what are you doing here? Who is this kid? They were talking like this in front of my face. And to find sponsor, partner, it was so hard, so hard. So, but it is what it is. I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm still here. Okay. So that means you work hard. You need to work hard and your way up to wherever you want to go, because this is obviously your journey.
It's the process, right?
Yes. And it's also what is important to know is this is your journey. It's not no one else's journey. My journey is my journey. Ellie's journey is Ellie's journey. Omeyeme is Omeyeme journey. You know, we don't compare yourself to others because it will just put you down most of the time. Because it doesn't matter at what level you are. It's just that's something I learned from really young age is what I want to do is not necessarily what they want to do. And even if we want to do the same thing, maybe we won't be able to do it the same way. There's absolutely so many ways, as long as it's good for you and it's good for your mental health. That's something I learned, because when you're in this business, when you're an entrepreneur, is you first of all crazy, because only crazy people can be entrepreneurs, because you wake up doing things together. You don't know if they take you anywhere.
Yeah.
So you need also to manage your mental health and your health.
Because
you want to push hard. Sometimes I learned to just sit back and just not do anything. Like I literally, like I am the one who can work like 48 hours and I am the one who can sleep 48 hours.
I love it.
I am that person.
Balance. Yeah.
I am that person. Nice. I'm like, oh, whatever. I can stay in my house for 1 week without going out.
Yeah.
This is who I am. That's how I find my space to this is again me trying to be the best of me by doing what my body's allow me
to do,
yeah, right. And sometimes allow you, not even tell you, because sometimes you just can't go. Those are the struggle.
Amazing. You've like I said before, so many gems in there.
Oh, thank you.
So you've taken us through the fashion when you started and how to scale.
Yes.
So did you feel like there was something you had to do to set your brand apart from other brands? So why, you know, did you have to prove to people why they had to buy Adama Paris, for example?
At that time, no.
Okay.
When I started it, I was not even thinking about marketing and everything. I am not, you know, we were not like this young genius now.
Yeah.
Like they know everything. They have everything figured out.
Yeah.
No, nothing was figured out. I just knew that I wanted to do this. That was something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I knew it. Like there's nothing that can
nothing
really,
else. Yeah.
But I learned through the journey how to do things, you know. But one thing also for sure, and when I started, I was my own PR. I was my own secretary. I was on my own, I had 6 emails.
Wow.
That I was answering myself, pretending that I have all these people
working. Yeah, people on the team.
Learn from that, young people. And now, I was pretending I could be an actress or something. Mm. I was answering to 5 different emails and like, hi, Miss Adama, say this and this.
Nice.
It was funny, but it is what it is. You fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And but not faking it by just like doing nonsense. It was really, you know, you don't have money. You don't have, most of the time, you don't have support. And so I learned that me supporting me is the key. Mm. It sounds easy, but lots of people, lots of young designers now I see, they're like, oh, we don't have money, whatever. I was like, how much do you have? Mm. I know I don't have money to put. Yeah, but you have money to go to Paris, but you have money to go to this party. Even, you know, if you can invest in yourself, I won't invest in you. Mm. Like, this is my first thing with young designer. Yeah, because they always think that, you know, now that you well know, you know, these people, money coming is like this. No. Like, I started with zero, with my mm-hmm. dad saying, I'm not going to give you anything. I remember I was doing shows in clubs in France.
Wow.
Just to have people.
Exposure.
Yes, no exposure. And paying. No, I'm all about money.
Okay.
Just paying the entrance. I was like, the club was like, I was like,
okay, so
I came.
Yeah.
Yes, I came to the owner. I was like, I can do these things. It's going to be entertaining. So what are you giving me?
Yes. What's in it for me?
Yes. He's like, oh, yeah. But it's like, we can stop the thing and I do a show during the, it's a freaking club.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but entrance are like, yeah. I was like, let's do 50-50. He's like, no. I was like, okay, 30-50. But I will getting my money. So I can invest in me again.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So to me, it's really important, not only believing in you, because obviously that's the first things, but also being able, if you have one dime, to put in your business and just to not drink and not to eat.
Yeah.
Because it is what it is.
Absolutely. So it's like, you know, short term for mm-hmm. long term gains, right?
Exactly. So vision. Because if you started, because Adama is successful, you want to be like Adama, but you're not willing to do the job, you're not willing to put the effort, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
I, in 20 years, I've seen so many brands just come and disappear. Because for a brand to be not only successful, because successful is not that easy to me. Because I don't know, it's easy for me. It's what is not easy is to stay relevant for a long time.
Sustained.
You know, to be out there nowadays is so easy. Everybody can be on TV, on whatever. You have your YouTube channel, you have Instagram. Everybody can be, but just wait and see what they've been doing for, like, after 5 years, if they're still here, if they're still as good, if they're improving. So to me, I'm impressed by people who have longevity.
Yes.
I'm not impressed by people who just come and do things and, you know, and stop.
Yeah.
That's not impressive for me.
That makes sense. And, you know, with that being said, mm-hmm. what you just said, clearly there's an element to you having to be innovative mm-hmm. and creative with what it is that you're doing in order to sustain mm-hmm. relevance in the fashion industry. So how have you managed to do that after, you know, over the past 20 years?
I think that the key is being honest with yourself, and being honest with yourself is doing what you know how to do. You know, because this young designer or even designer, they see Ellie, they want to do Ellie's collection. They see Adama, they want to do. You need to set a core and an identity for your brand.
Mm.
And this comes from you.
Mm.
Obviously, if you're a designer or you're creative of the brand, you need to put your stamp. And putting your stamp is like, everybody who will see this will know that this is Adama Paris.
Yes.
And that's really the hard part.
Yeah.
Because you need to be honest and you need to be really a genuine creative.
Yeah.
So many people now design, you know, and if you see them doing this, then it's mean that means to me they're not really genuinely creative. They just want to do things because it's now the trend.
Popular, right?
Yes. Right. So first of all, being true to yourself, to what you want to do, and it will come easily. So for me, as Adama Paris, I always like my identity of the brand is always multicultural. I really praise for, I'm not defined only, of course, I'm truly African, but I'm deeply African, but truly international. That's how I describe myself. Really, I'm like, my roots are down here in Africa and my head is everywhere else. That's to create the brand that can be sell in Paris or in London, but still this African flavor. And I start like including embroidery. And my, like, you know, like all these people see my Mubu. It was not even in fashion at that time when I started Mubu. And I'm glad it's a trend now, including my embroidery from Mauritania and fabric made in Mali and design in Senegal. You know, I was deeply into Pan-Africanism.
Yeah.
I was deeply into, like, I don't want to be defined by one culture.
Yeah.
And I'm African, so I don't need to prove it to anybody. And I'm black enough for you people to see that I'm a black African girl. But what I wanted to prove, and my point was to be that Pan-African, because to me, being able to, I was not even born in my own country. Mm. I was born in Congo. So I was deeply African before I was Senegalese.
Scratch,
yes. Before I was my own, like, country, I was African. And to me, what is important is being African, first of all, before being a Senegalese. And also being able to tell stories through my collection and by using my culture. Mm-hmm. And my culture is not only defined by my Senegaleseness, it's defined by my travel, because I'm a traveler also. This is something I really love. Everybody knows me. It's like, I travel the world. I'm not into jewelry, into bags, and into showing up. I travel. So the brand is also made by that. Is like, we want to be not defined by only being Senegalese or Nigerian. We want to be defined by being African and African to the world.
Yes.
It's always important for me because, you know, once you build something in your country, your tribe, your village, your Africa, you need to be elsewhere, because we live in a society that globalism is here. You like it or you don't, it's out there. And to be honest, I love it. I love the fact that New Yorker can wear my dress.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I can put white people in my mbubu. I love that. I love the fact that Africa is taking the world, but not only by copying what they're doing, but by also by putting something new in their in their closet, putting something, you know, there's now like European or American, they're not afraid to buy African anymore,
because
we are giving them a new trend and a new way of
new flavor.
Looking at African fashion. It's not only this fabric, color fabric. It's not what it used to be. So to me, that's how I kind of set my brand. And of course, something also really important to me is, like, once you set that identity, you can go left and right.
Yeah.
Because I can now. I can, like, my collection for Lagos Fashion Week is going to be all denim, all bling bling.
Yes.
And really young, really appealing. But because now I can, and I allow myself to go into other spaces. You know, once everybody knows who you are, you're not only defined by your first collection or your five first collection. You can just explore something else and just, you know, be this old woman we are. You know, a different woman.
Yes.
And I also design for myself. So I don't know what it's going to be when I'm going to be 60. Because I always design for myself as a woman. And, you know, I kind of, you know, see what is in my closet, what I don't want to wear, or what I want wear.
Yeah.
Sometimes I dare myself to be bold.
Yes, nice. You know, very often we look at fashion as a way to express yourself. Yes. So that's why, you know, it's that what you're saying is essentially expressing yourself through your fashion.
And when you're 20, you have this you. And when you're 40, you have a new you.
Yes.
And it's still you. And you're growing and you're growing as a person. And what's, you know, fashion is deeply connected to your lifestyle.
Mm.
Yes. You know, my lifestyle now was not my lifestyle when I was 20 years ago. And it's not going to be probably my lifestyle when I be 50 or 60. So there's not a bad thing about evolving. Evolving is a good thing.
Yeah.
And you can start doing boo-boo and evolving doing mini skirt or vice versa. You know, as your limit is only you and what you feel.
Yeah.
And I think that that's how you deeply stay attached to your brand.
Because
what are you doing is deeply coming from you. Either, like me, you design for yourself, or you design, or you just design because you design. There's
no way to do
it. Yes, you know, because your design process is your design process.
Right.
But one thing I know is, like, you can allow yourself to change, change is a good thing.
Yes.
There's no, I'm bored by seeing designers doing the same thing,
yes,
even if I know this is what they, yes, do. But if every collection I come and sit and see exactly just different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's predictable, right?
Yes, I want to see something movement. I want to see sassiness. I want to see drastic change.
Yeah.
So to me, changing it was part of my process and it's still part of my process. So let's see. Let's talk in 10 years.
So clearly, the constantly pushing yourself is something that you did in order to remain relevant within the fashion industry.
And also surrounding myself with young people. For real. I mean, it's not like I feel old at 40. It's just like, I think it's so important because I was there. I was 20. And when I was 20, there was nobody out there to help me build these things. I mean, some people, but now you have all these talented young people. It's just whoever is not using them is just losing.
Mm.
It's just like you don't give them the favor. They make a favor for you. That's really how I see it. So my team is like the leverage age is like, I think that's 22 something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I have work also. I'm really proud to say that I work with all Africans.
Amazing.
I don't only work with Senegalese. I work in Mali. We have even Ghana. Mm. And also one thing also I'm trying to do is hard though to just tap this nonsense language barrier.
Yeah.
You know, because with Francophone, we tend to work only with Francophone and Anglophone. So in the fashion, we invite Lusophone, people from, Mozambique.
Yes.
And I really try every year to have people from everywhere in Africa, Morocco, North Africa.
Yes.
So we can be African. Because we're not African if we're not complete, if we're not represented all African. So I tap into the Arab country, into the Mozambique, the one who speaks Spanish, and we invite Nigerian, Ghanaian, South African. So I think that this is the way we should be working toward, to just try to unlearn what the colonies, what English, what England, what French teachers as African that we are. This part and I really advocate for that, and I'm kind of become political about it.
Yeah.
It's important for us to just break those fake
boundaries,
bridges.
Yes.
The bridges they put in the between us is like, oh, we need, you know, African. No, I'm African and I'll be able to talk to you even if I don't speak English. Let's just try to
communicate. Yeah.
Let's just try to be out there and try to do, and we creative because we will always find a way to talk.
Absolutely. And together we go further, right?
Yes. And you know, and this is also the challenge of new African. We need to tear apart all this idea that England, French, or whoever colonizers put into our mind.
Yeah.
And I'm not better than Nigerian. Nigerian and I'm not better than, we better together. Because when we all proud African, and we need to, and it's nonsense to not be able to go to African country because we have visa issues and stuff like that. I am really advocating against all those nonsense. And as creative, we need to create new bridges that we create.
Yeah.
It's our narrative, it's our stories, and it's the way we want it to be seen by the world, because this is important. We need to think global.
Yeah.
By saying global is not only the world, but us as a global force in fashion. That's why, you know, years ago, I started this federation. I invite Omiyemi, I invite all these ladies like me who own their own fashion week to sit together, to do our own calendar, to do our own thing. Because together we're relevant.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I am doing all my things on my own, but imagine all us together.
Powerful. Yeah. Okay, so with that being said, women together, powerful. So at what point did you decide that you wanted to start doing fashion shows as opposed to just doing fashion?
Oh, I started right away.
Oh, so you're doing it.
I started my brand and the
shows together?
Like 4 months after I started the show.
Wow.
Because to me, I went back to Senegal and I wanted to showcase my fashion. And there was not fashion week. I was like, ooh, let me create the fashion week. And it was 20 years ago. There was no fashion week. And well, I think South Africa is older than us for 2 years or 3 years. So I started the fashion week right away. I said, like, that's the entrepreneurship side. I saw an opportunity to start something bigger than me.
Right. So do you have any, like, specific textiles that you like to work with?
I hate working with what you call Ankara.
What's wrong with Ankara?
Because it's not African. Like what the Ankara, like we call it Lagos, actually. And the fabric is called Lagos in our country.
In Senegal?
In Senegal. It's wax Lagos.
Why are you calling it Lagos?
I don't know. I need to find out.
Okay.
Those fabric was made in Holland.
Oh, Holland. Okay.
And shipped in Africa. And even African things, that is African country. It's African fabric. So I hate that. And everybody know that I'm advocating for fabric made in Africa by African. Mm. So obviously I don't use that. The Ankara we have, I don't know if it's the same here, but made in Europe and send it in Africa, and they make tons of money out of it. And that's why I'm against it. I'm not against it because it's not pretty. I'm against it because it's colonizing us again. So, yes, but I do use African fabric. And now nowadays it's easier for us to make our own fabric by, you know, it's still hard to get our own cotton. Because the government sending it, shipping it, and selling it straight to Europe. Because, you know, we can't afford to buy this, the same higher price they're selling it. So it's really a struggle. But we are having our fabric make some of them in Burkina, some of them in Mali, and now even in Senegal. And like this one, this cotton is from Mauritania.
Beautiful.
And tie-dye in Mali, and the clothes made in Senegal. So it's still... and this one was made in Thailand, fabric. So it's still hard for us as African to have fabric made in Africa because we don't have lots of factory that really are specialized in making
textiles.
But even like a silk, I would love to have just a proper silk made in Africa, you know, without the African print, because sometimes you don't want to just do that.
Yeah.
No, you just want to have a plain things and stuff. Yeah. So I still, like, we're still struggling from that part, but we are doing good. And I think, and I see now lots of young designers making their own fabric, but I'm against the Ankara that we're doing in West Africa that are really made in Holland.
In other countries, yes.
In Europe. No, I don't mind it's a fabric made in Nigeria.
Yes.
I just mind, I don't want...
made in Africa.
Yes, made in Europe, like tons of million, and they create this narrative that is African. This is so crazy.
Yes, a lot of people are oblivious to it. They're not aware of the
fact
that it's not.
Yes, that's why our duty is to just create awareness and teach people that, you know, certain things are not what they see. Because this is a European narrative. This is, you know, and when you have the media, when you have the press, you can push idea as far as you want and make untrue thing statement being true.
Yeah.
So this is our duty to just
tell
like now I hope people listening to us or watching this will learn something.
Absolutely. I often say that it's left to us to tell our story, because if we don't tell our story, we leave it open for other people to tell our story, right?
Bravo for what you're doing, giving us the mic to just have the real and genuine conversation about who we are and what we are without being ashamed of our faults, our good things, bad things. Like I said, this is up to us to tell the story we want to tell. And there is no shame about, you know, being good or bad. At this point, what will matter in 20 years, in 30 years?
Legacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the story, they won't be fairy tale. We can also talk about tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know, realness,
absolutely,
struggles. And doesn't matter. I'm not looking for ease.
Yeah.
I know that ease is just really bad for us, but I am happy to be able to tell you my truth and tell you the struggle and also the fancy part of it. Mm-hmm. But we all need to have a vision and to know that what you're doing here now today with me will last forever.
Yeah.
And you just think about it. Mm-hmm. So if you think that way, you will do your best to do something really good that yes. your children, their children will because. See. And that doesn't mean just lying and putting faith to things. But realness is always something that will prevail.
Yes, this is true. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So something that you mentioned was a major challenge that Africans in general face in terms of being able to produce their textiles. Mm-hmm. Is there something that the government can do to support?
Don't make me start, girl.
Because it's important.
Don't make me even start.
This is a major area for...
Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. I, Adama, I'm a producer. I'm an owner of the Fashion Week. I produce the Fashion Week. I own the TV channel. I own magazine. I own shops. I'm literally the queen of my kingdom,
yes.
which is rare and not... It's not normal.
Yes.
I create all these things out of... just the empty space. Mm. I started. There were nothing that I wanted. So I mean, good for me. I started creating it. Now people are like, oh, you are a great entrepreneur. I was forced to. Because, I mean, of course, it's the character. But I started. Like, I remember we started Fashion Week. And it was like Fashion TV was coming. And they were like charging us like money and airing us at 3 a.m. For 3 seconds. No, I'm just exaggerating. For 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Listen, I was like, hell no. I went to my bankers, like, I want a TV. And he's like, you want a show? No, I want a TV. And it was a struggle for years. I cut like all the expense I have to have these things. But that's the problem in Africa. So those who are not made like me, because I am that person. I am like, if you tell me you can do this, I was like, watch me. I'll do it.
Yes.
Like even golfing, stupid golfing. My friend, I was there golfing and was like, oh, I was golfing. I was already starting golfing. And it was like, oh, they were surfers. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we're surfing. You know, black people don't surf. Like, watch me. And 1 year after I was surfing, I'm like, like, I love challenging myself and I hate people putting me in boxes.
Yeah.
But like I said, not everybody are made this way. Not everybody willing to fight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to fight anybody just for what I believe.
Because
I was, obviously, I'm going to come back to my family, raising a family that my dad was from the government, my mom was from the opposition. So they were fighting all the time about, like, you are thief, you are, da, 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 you know, coming back to the government. So, I kind of from young age learned how to navigate and to not agree. And it's fine to disagree with people. Cause this, like I told you, in Europe and elsewhere, like companies own fashion weeks.
Mm.
Company, invest in someone like Adama Pari. Mm. You see this big label in Europe. You think that they this own money? No. Mm. Big company, invest in Sophia Webster's, in, I don't know, Yves Saint Laurent and stuff like that. Mm. We do not have that because for so long, fashion was just fun.
Yeah.
People coming to watch beautiful ladies showing, that was it.
Mm.
And now they know better. And I think that they're working toward that, but it's still so much to do. So much like, and I think that, to be honest with you, I'm going to give you flair or your flowers. Nigeria doing better. South Africa doing also really good. South Africa are really doing great.
Mm.
I've been doing this for 20 years without them money. I mean, I can do it. But imagine with the help of my government.
That would be, you'd have gone so much further. Yeah,
I would be Dior.
Yeah.
That is important to have also to knowledge people that doing bigger things in a bigger scale in other country. That doesn't mean we're not good enough. It's like you're looking toward people who set something so big that everybody knows them.
Yeah.
That's what we want to be.
Yeah.
And there's no shame about it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like, you know, like people look up to me. It's because I've been doing this.
Yes.
And I look up to other people been doing something bigger.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, I don't have a African
inspiration
example. Because at that time, I was one of the few ones.
doing it.
You know, like the way I want it.
Yeah.
Because I was not the first one doing, of course, fashion. But that international, that multicultural, that, you know, because I want to be in New York as much as I want to be in Helsinki or in Lagos.
Yes.
And it's fine to want that.
Yes.
It's fine. And I don't want people to shame young people because they want to be elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's no
shame in it.
Yes. Yeah. You want to be in Paris, in London.
Yes. And aim for it.
Yes. In Lagos, in Abuja. Why not?
Yes.
Yes. And absolutely. We need to encourage young, talented designer or creative, because I'm not into, because for me, fashion is only a tool.
Mm.
I really think that I'm not the normal fashion designer. Mm. Designing for me is fine.
Yeah.
It's just a little thing that spice up my creativity.
Yeah.
But if we would stop today, I'm fine with it, because I create something bigger than me designing a clothes, you know. And I think that we need to give that space to young people so they can be photographer, designer, filmmaker. We need to stop putting our people in boxes. You just only have to do this. Why elsewhere people can do everything? Yeah. If you're talented enough, why not?
Go for it.
And we need some people in the government to know about this. And we are the best ambassador.
Yes. We want to speak to them. We want to talk to them and let them know what we need. We are our
best ambassador.
Yeah.
Because what I bring to my Africa is better than what the minister bring.
Mm.
Nobody knows him.
Mm.
In Paris, in London, in New York, I'm well known there.
Mm.
So it's just fair enough that my voice could be out there. Because I am advocating for not only Senegal, but Africa.
Africa, this is right. This is true. Africa to
the
world.
This president need to...
We need a position for Adama.
That's not only for me. We need, I will hate to work in government,
but
in politics.
We need the
my
right
advocacy, my thing is to keep being the entrepreneur and keep giving job to people. But I would love to see someone that willing to go and I don't mind talking to them, but I certainly don't want to work for anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm my own boss.
you can help with policies, putting policies in place.
Yes, but oh God, it's not like it's probably like in here, but it's hard. Like, you know, being able and working for 20 years and taking decision just because I want to.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to someone who, you know, I know politics. Like I told you, my parents are into politics.
Yeah.
So I really want to vote for someone out there who be the link.
Yes.
But not me. Definitely. Yes. That is not something I can do. I know.
Okay.
Like I said, you need to know what you're able to do.
To do, right. Fantastic. And as we wrap up, I just wanted to know, what can we expect from Adama Paris in the future?
Oh, so many things. New collection.
Hey.
Bling, bling. New area of not being ashamed,
shine.
Of not being afraid, and to shine in your own light, and to just be proud to shine your own light on you.
Yes, right.
Because, you know, as is my season.
Yeah,
as it's just not me season. Like it's just me season, not only about shining and telling my truth. It's just like me. I am concentrating in me.
Yeah,
for once now.
Yeah,
everything I want to do this year is toward me, not as a creative whatever. But I want to praise me.
Yes.
I want to.
You deserve your flowers.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And nobody is giving it to me. I'm giving it to myself. No, as is just. Sure. But this is also a process, because you know, once you start it, you're ashamed. You don't want to do too much. You want people to like you because you're humble and whatever. And I'm still humble, but I still tell myself, girl,
it's okay to say yes. You deserve this.
Hey, girl.
Yes.
Mm-mm. This is me. And so I'm in this area. And obviously, you can see it through my
collection.
But as an entrepreneur, there's so many things going on now. I agreed to film this new TV show with French television. And so that gave me a new platform to be able to wear awareness to young designer, talented designer. So I refused to do TV for years because I was too busy making money. Now I can a little settle
time,
Yes, and think about audience now and not money.
Yes.
And also I'm working really hard to have this factory. It's been 3-4 years we're working to have this artisanal factory in Senegal.
Lovely.
Yes, where we, you know, like I told you, my clothes are always made with three person in different mm-hmm. countries or different backgrounds. So we want to be able to do a factory, not like European factory, but to put together all these worker mm-hmm. and to link them together and for them to make also a better living
yeah.
and to invite designer from elsewhere
yeah.
so we can make their to fabric, come. Not only their fabric, but their clothes in a bigger
yes,
scale
because yes.
that's what we're lacking of.
Ultimately. That's
yeah, amazing. So that's really my bigger project.
Yeah. Now. And then more recently, mm-hmm. Chanel came to
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the first time they had touched African soil.
Yes.
What was that like? And how can we encourage other designers to come to Africa and see what it is that we have to offer?
Listen, I'm first of all, this is also, I'm going to give my own flower. I was really pleased that they came to me because they came to me. I was not even aware.
Mm.
So they asked me to produce their show. So, and one day they called me, they called several people to call me. And I learned after that Pharrell was the one who told them about me. Pharrell. I don't even know Pharrell.
Wow.
I swear. I never met Pharrell before the fashion show.
Wow.
And actually they wanted to do something in Africa. And I'm really proud that this is also the journey and what we've been doing for 20 years for Dakar Fashion Week.
Yeah.
And Dakar is really a vibrant artistic country and a city. So, and lots of in Kehinde, Wale, also lots of people just like, oh, Dakar is a thing because it's small, it's vibrant, it's really peaceful, it's nice. And we still also something we have really, and we're proud of, we still culturally really attached to our, you know, yeah. And like, for instance, you go in Friday in Dakar, everybody is the same dress code without anybody knowing. It's like everybody's in bubu.
Without planning it.
No, it's just, Friday, you go into the mosque, you wear a bubu.
Nice.
And those type of things. And we have like, it's a small, like I call us the small giant because we're really a
small
tiny,
but mighty.
Tiny country, but everywhere you go in the African and also in international artistic space, you will find a Senegalese as the person involved them out. So when they come to me and they wanted me to produce, they didn't want my creative size or whatever. I was like, wow, this is good. And they allowed me to kind of express my creativity. We did the whole setup and and I even end up doing everything like in terms of even the hostess and even girls that in the it was in the show and my girl.
The models, okay.
Yes, and not all of them, but like all the black girls beside the Sudanese, they were my girls. The team that helped backstage, they were my people. Actually, Dakar Fashion Week team just actually were they there just 2 days after our show. It was such a like hard time for
us. Can imagine
because it was the 20 years anniversary of Dakar Fashion Week, they were nice about this though. They were willing to do their show really close to our show so we can have also their guests coming to our show.
Okay.
So it was really nice and it put us in the spotlight. But like I said, I thank me.
Yes.
And I thank my people for you know, even they went even to the president and they say, oh, who we need to talk to or work with, and everybody say Adama Paris.
Wow.
So that means, you know,
amazing.
Your work in one day will pay off.
Absolutely.
So be honest, there's not such a thing as I know this person because
yes.
obviously they don't care because they have enough money to pay people to come to Senegal. So I know that it's not being cocky, they could do without me.
Yeah.
I was the one. And they knew it and I knew it and everybody knew it.
That's awesome.
So I just like believing in you at one point it pay off. But I did them a favor. They didn't do me a favor.
Yes.
I did them a favor by doing their show.
Absolutely.
And I they were laughing about it, but I told them straight. But I'm like that. I'm a straight shooter. And they laughing, you know. But honestly, one thing good about Chanel is just a brand, it's a family brand still owned by a family. It's not a company. So all the decisions are easy and they don't care. Chanel obviously is a brand that they don't care about inviting Kim Kardashian, whatever. They will invite the same people they want. And
amazing.
You know, that's what I love about this brand. It's still a family brand and they big enough to just do things according to them.
Amazing.
And I like that.
Amazing, amazing. So the two things we take away from that, you know, hard work pays off, mm-hmm. because clearly if it wasn't for your hard work,
yes.
they wouldn't have been able to know.
Like Farrell. Yes. Girl, I met Farrell yes. during the show.
Amazing.
And I was like, who told you about me? Like Farrell, like, okay.
Yeah. And that's the second thing, right? Just having good people that, you know, say your name when yeah. you're not even there, right? So shout out
and
to Farrell.
And even if you shout don't know
Farrell.
Them. Yes. Hi, Farrell.
Hi, Farrell.
But now, obviously, I met him now. But the fact that just Farrell knows my work was amazing to me. And that's why you realize that hard work pays.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you. This has
Thank
been
you.
Amazing. And as we wrap up, my final question is, what advice would you give to people that are looking to break into the fashion industry today?
Be true to yourself. That's really, you don't want to do something because other people are doing it. Honestly, you can look up to someone. People can inspire you, but you have to have that thing in you. You know, I don't want to do fashion just because you're doing fashion. Obviously, I want to do fashion and I look up to some people who inspire me. So that's the first thing. Because if you're doing things out of trend or whatever, you will quit.
Yeah.
You will quit right away.
Burnout.
Yes. It's not even burnout, because to be able to burn out is to work that hard.
Yeah.
When people burn out only because they are living their passion. People who just copy people would just come and go. Mm-hmm. And second of all, especially now, go find education. Mm. Educate yourself. There's so many ways to educate yourself now. YouTube, Google, whatever, yes. courses. It's really important to know your craft.
Yeah.
And also, now we're living in a visual area. As your identity, everything is important. The way you picture yourself, the way you send this information to the world, it's important. It's as important that the clothes you made. That's something I learned through the way that, you know, your website, your Instagram, all this is are important, because this is showing to the world. People don't know you. Like, for instance, me, Beyonce, Alicia Keys, Erykah Badu, all that, just to name a few, all these people just like become my customers because of Instagram.
Amazing.
Just so it's important. Image, it's important. Don't put there your picture with your mom or whatever. Try to be as professional as you can. Just if you can have like a nice picture, better put one picture. One nice picture is better than having all this
Multiple,
picture.
Yes. yes.
So that's really something that in 20 years ago, I would not give this advice. But now I think it's important. And of course, invest in yourself.
Invest. Awesome. Words, very wise words spoken by you today. Thank you once again for joining us on Bridging the Gap. Hopefully in the future, we hope to talk to you again sometime soon. But thank you for everything.
Thank bonsoir. You for having me. Oh, I love the bonsoir. Thank you for having me. Merci beaucoup. I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to share it.
Yes.
What is that nose?
It's the camera.
I know, it's weird.
I know.
Right. No, but thank you. Merci beaucoup. Merci de m'avoir interviewé.
Yes. Yeah, de rien.